Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. For decades, director Spike Lee's name has been synonymous with films that challenge the status quo. His latest film, Black Klansman, is no exception.
Co-written and directed by Lee, Black Klansman is based on true events. The film is set in the 1970s and tells the story of Ron Stallworth, an African-American police officer who goes undercover to infiltrate a local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan.
Lake Effect film contributor Dave Lurson had a chance to see the movie before its official opening. He sat down with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about some of the highlights of the film and its evocative imagery.
Black Klansman is filled with Confederate flags. The stars and bars are seen in a clip from Gone with the Wind and shows up in neon on the wall of a pool hall and framed on the wall of David Duke's office. The cultural legacy of the Ku Klux Klan and the symbol it adopted is the theme of Spike Lee's latest film. It's present in the recurring clips from The Birth of a Nation, the 1915 film that extolled the Klan as heroes and triggered the reemergence of the defunct terrorist group.
Black Klansman is based on the true story of Ron Stallworth, a black Colorado Springs officer who went undercover in the late 1970s to infiltrate the local Ku Klux Klan chapter. So what was your initial impression of the film? Obviously, we have some expectations being a Spike Lee product, but what did you think?
I ended up very much enjoying the film. I did a little bit research ahead of time on it because the idea of the movie, when you put it that way, seems extremely improbable. How could a black police officer infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan? But apparently, this is based on the memoir of the officer who accomplished this feat. He did this via phone, sending a white colleague to play the part of himself as the infiltrator of the group. So, I mean, nobody has ever accused Spike Lee of subtlety. He tends to bludgeon his messages. He's very determined to make his points as clearly as possible. And you could say that Black Klansman does that. There's not any human sympathy, I suppose, for the other side of this issue. They are very reprehensible people, and Spike Lee never lets them off the hook for a second.
Most of Spike Lee's films also are presented in a way that is heightened realism, in a sense, but with this being based off of a true story, how do you find that he mixes the truthful storytelling with his unique format?
Well, I don't know to what extent he had to dramatize the actual story. I've not read the memoir. But he effectively introduces a variety of elements into the movie. I mean, one of the things that's very important, I think, in thinking about Spike Lee is his awareness of the history of race and the problems connected with it in American society. And we're getting a history lesson in this movie. Again, The Birth of a Nation. A film extolled as being very innovative in terms of defining the grammar, maybe, if you will, of filmmaking as we know it, but a film that shows hooded Klansmen rescuing white women from subhuman African Americans as they were depicted in this film. The Ku Klux Klan really was reborn as a result of this movie, and Spike Lee does not let us off the hook on this point. He does not let us forget that Gone with the Wind depicts slavery in a very inaccurate way. He doesn't let us off the hook for the kinds of delusional thinking, I think, that many white people in America have about the situation that he is most concerned with.
Spike Lee also has a gift for casting with his movies. We have John David Washington as the main role of Ron Stallworth. Adam Driver is his fellow police officer, Flip Zimmerman. We have Laura Harrier as Patrice Dumas and Ryan Eggold as Walter Breachway, to name a few. Toby Grace also has an appearance as the leader of the KKK. What do you think of the overall casting for these roles?
Well, I think he did a fine job with it, and I think that actors really look forward to working with Spike Lee because he is a prestigious director. What's interesting to me about the casting of the movie, perhaps, or maybe the screenplay itself, is that there are really co-protagonists, if you will. John David Washington as Ron, the African-American police officer, and Adam Driver as Flip, the white police officer who is the imposter who plays Ron as he infiltrates the Klan. Really, Flip has just about as much screen time as Ron does. I mean, I think that the two of them are very important characters. The relationship that develops between the two of them seems very natural. There was an evolution, certainly, in their attitudes toward each other, which seems quite realistic. So, yes, I mean, the heightened realism of Spike Lee's filmmaking at times forces us to think about the reality of the situation.
He also emphasizes a character's speech patterns, and this was especially important with Ron Stallworth posing as a white supremacist over the phone while Flip goes in person. What did you think of the use of their diction or speech rhythms, things like that? Because Ron has a very distinctive voice in this movie, for sure.
Well, it's playing on the whole idea of you know, the differences in accents and dialects, how easy it is to fool people, maybe. But I think more importantly, the W.B. Du Bois idea of the double consciousness, if you will, of African Americans, that you know, an African American who succeeds in America needs to live on two levels, and you need to be able to function differently. So Ron does this. Ron can speak the way that a Klansman would think a white person would speak. He knows how to do that. I mean, it's not beyond his ability, as a Klansman would probably think it would be.
This is an upsetting, angry film as much as it's entertaining, and it's been deemed, you know, kind of a dark comedy. Do you think Lee kept control over its shifting tone as the film progresses? Because there are funny moments, but then there are serious moments that, you know, take you aback.
I don't know if I would say that it's a perfectly composed film. It lurches. I mean, I would use the word, it lurches back and forth a bit. And maybe, again, maybe that's his intention. I don't think he wants people to be comfortable. I don't think he wants people to sit back with their popcorn and enjoy this, although he wants people to be sufficiently entertained, I believe, that they won't walk out. I mean, he has a message to give here. He wants a wider audience for this movie, I believe, than what he wanted for some of the movies during the past 10, 15 years, which seemed to be directed very exclusively to a Black American audience. Here he's trying to reach beyond that, and maybe the violent lurching back and forth is part of the way of making his point that this is uncomfortable, that the situation of race in America is not a comfortable thing, and maybe the audience should feel a little bit of this discomfort through the aesthetic of the film.
One thing that was beautiful throughout the film was its cinematography. You just notice this and the colors and the scheme. It was shot by Chase Irvin, whose credits include Beyoncé's Lemonade, for any audience members who are familiar with that work. You know, it's really a pleasure to look at despite the terrible things that you're looking at. And it's also backed up by a great score that kind of combines that 70s R&B, and yet it's still very symphonic and dramatic and cinematic at its heart. And I think it was an interesting juxtaposition to have such a beautiful looking and sounding movie compared to its content.
Well, do we have to make ugliness into ugly art? If Spike Lee would make an ugly movie about ugliness, that would probably reduce the audience for it, for one thing. And again, I think he wants to reach the widest possible audience, and to do that, I don't think making an ugly film would be the way to reach that objective.
Right. And for fans of Spike Lee, he does have his signature double dolly shot at some point in this film, which kind of throws you visually through a loop.
He likes doing that.
Yeah. And with Spike Lee's directorial voice, you mentioned this is obviously intended for a wide audience. He does force audiences to confront issues they'd be more comfortable avoiding. And when he first burst onto the film scene, I think we can argue that no other Black filmmakers were making films for a wide audience. What do you think has made him such a significant filmmaker?
Well, I remember seeing She's Got to Have It back in 1986 when it opened, I think, at the Oriental Theater. And it was very striking because I don't know if the term indie filmmaking was even in wide currency at that point just yet, but indie films were being made. They came to Milwaukee. I saw probably most of them that came through here. And it was the first time that I saw an indie African-American film. almost all indie films, I mean, virtually all of them at that time were from a white point of view. There could be a black character or two, but they were white films. And in point of fact, the vast majority of indie filmmaking in America is still being made by white people. So that movie, I think, like many Spike Lee movies, like many of his most successful ones, can operate on two levels. I'm sure that if I had been African American, I would have seen things in that film and in some of his other movies that, not being African American, I would not notice. I wouldn't get it quite. But at the same time, the best Spike Lee movies are broad enough that a wider audience, a wider sensibility, can embrace what he's trying to say. This is particularly, I think, important with Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X, in which anybody concerned with the question of race in America, regardless of your background, I think you can understand what's going on in the movie, to be in some way entertained by it because they were beautifully made films, but also to be on a certain level educated, perhaps, about these issues.
What other key characteristics would you say are part of Spike Lee's films? We have the gorgeous to look at, listen to, usually thought-provoking. Technically, his filmmaking is quite above others, and most of the time it's deep, thoughtful characters. Would you say that there's any other key points that people will take away from a Spike Lee movie?
Well, the history of the black experience in America, it's very hard to avoid elements of that in most Spike Lee movies. School Days, his second film, shows us something that most white people are oblivious to, which is the differentiation between skin tone among African Americans from lighter to darker. There was a musical scene in the movie I remember very clearly that kind of expounded on this point. So, yes, I mean, he looks at the history of his people in their relationship to the wider American society, the disadvantages, the struggles, the misunderstandings, the lack of comprehension, and the barriers that continue to exist. I think the release of Black Klansman right now is particularly interesting because of Black Lives Matter, needless to say. Here in this movie, we have essentially a partially racist police department in the 1970s, not entirely. And there, too, I think the subtlety is that there are levels of racism in this department. You have a black officer, the first black officer in the department, not an uncommon situation back in those days, confronting this problem, how to serve, how to be what a police officer ought to be, to protect and to serve within this kind of environment. This question has not gone away.
Also touching on the significance of a film like this today is his use of real footage. In this case, it ends with footage from the Charlottesville protests, and it really drives the point home on how little has changed in a quarter of a century. And this is a technique he's used with other films as well.
Well, David Duke, a character very well played in this movie. The actor who portrayed David Duke is just perfect. And yes, the real-life David Duke shows up in archival footage at the end of the film, speaking to the white supremacists at that notorious rally in 2017. They're still out there. The Ku Klux Klan continues to exist, and in many ways, the thinking behind that is morphing and changing and taking on new costumes and new approaches, but the basis of it, which is hatred toward the other, an unwarranted sense of superiority based upon your own family tree, a generalized, I think, sense of resentment toward the way the world is, which maybe many of us can share, you know, an anxiety about the world. But the problem, the question always is, who is to blame? And people of this kind like to blame certain groups of people as if, you know, they are somehow responsible for the unpleasantness of one's life. And this was true 100 years ago. It's true during the time of the Birth of a Nation and the revival of the Klan in 1915. It's true today.
Do you think this is a quintessential viewing for any American just as a reflection of our own history?
Well, I think it is, and I think that we should all try to spend some time and go back and look at a couple of other Spike Lee movies, again, particularly Malcolm X and Do the Right Thing, because they continue to speak about things that haven't changed enough.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express, and he is one of our regular film contributors. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski.